What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's Friday, thankfully, because I'm not sure I could muster up the creativity to take this, you know, midsummer hockey blase into the weekend. We are hitting, obviously, day one of August here, Martin. And
yes.
There is but one lonely, dare we say, insignificant date on the arbitration calendar for the
and
NHL.
It's Sunday. It's on a Sunday too. Like that
NHL
poor arbitrator
to go live
that may have
to
work.
That's the only way we could have enhanced programming. But
you mean we're not going to talk about the summer showcase with all the World Juniors teams kind of competing?
Next time that happens will be the first time. Yes. So I'm going to guess no.
I've already mentioned it. So that's more than we've ever talked about it.
But
I'll tell you this. I went to summer camp. So the year I got drafted by the Sabres, that very summer, Team Canada for the World Juniors held a summer camp in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And I took it seriously, Duffer.
Oh, yeah.
I was there early, getting the work in, the goalie works or whatever. And then I was with a few of my junior teammates who, when we were supposed to go do a team activity, they'd get on the subway and go in Montreal. They'd go downtown, they'd be gone. And then, like, they never checked. I'm like, how do you not pay attention to like 50, 18 or 19 year old, make sure they're present at the activity you're supposed, it was a different time. We're talking about 1995 here, but still like you guys would just leave, take the subway and be gone. And I was too scared to join them. And plus I was like, hey, I really want to be on Team Canada. So I'm going to be first in line in every activities that we have. So they know I'm there.
Did you end up being second goalie on that team?
I ended up not making the team that year, believe it or not. So that's the year. But luckily for me, it worked out well because that year I went to training camp in Campbellton, New Brunswick. What it's called? Campbellton? I think it's what it is. Campbelltown? Campbellton? Anyway, in New Brunswick. Uh-huh. And I got caught. So Jose Theodore made the team and Mark Denny made the team. Mm-hmm. I had a terrible camp. I got caught, came back home just to get a call from the Sabres saying, we need you to go to Pittsburgh. So I got to play, you know, in the NHL. So it worked out. I don't think they would have called me if I had been in the World Juniors, right? They probably would have said, hey, right, that experience is better for you, whatever. But since I returned, they were like, hey, let's bring him up. So it worked out for me. But no, I had a terrible camp. In the winter, in the summer, I was great. But in the winter, I had a terrible camp and it didn't really work my way.
But did the Sabre game really work out? No.
I had a life experience. That's what I did.
You did.
I got to play in the, against Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr. And then I got to play at the Odd. And then I got to play at the Montreal Forum. I experienced my first ever rookie dinner. We went to Winnipeg, and that's where the Sabres were going to have their rookie dinner at a place called High Steakhouse. You know, the High Steakhouse in Canada. So it was awesome. I tried to shoe check Daryl Annan, and he threw a glass of red wine at my face under the table. I was trying to put some sour cream on his shoes. Like, it was made memories. It wasn't great on the ice either, but I made memories off the ice.
Well, I've actually found myself in a rather historic hockey location today.
Oh, where are you at?
Well, I'm going to give you some hints.
It is not Canada.
Correct.
Okay.
It is in the mountains.
Okay.
And has a distinct Canadian Olympic hockey connection.
Okay. So I would think you are in Salt Lake City, Utah.
West Valley, which is a suburb of Salt Lake City. I am right next to the arena, which was then known as the E-Center. Mm-hmm. It's currently the Maverick Center. And unfortunately, just this week, the city signed off on the Utah Grizzlies leaving town.
Oh, no.
This is after 30 years. They have been in the ECHL most recently.
Yep.
But the family that owned the team, one member passed a few years ago, another is in failing health, and it just doesn't, it's not a viable business for the remaining members of the family to be hands-on with. The arena is over 30 years old, needs a lot of work. It will, this Maverick Center, come back to life in hockey terms in 2034 when the Olympics return here to Salt Lake City. But in the meantime, they're going to focus on making, there's one more season of Utah Grizzlies hockey. And once that concludes, the focus will be keeping it as a entertainment venue. And there are lots of concerts that have run through here, which is why I'm here tonight. But so to be curious, that, of course, was 2002 Salt Lake, Canada ending a 50-year Olympic gold medal drought. It was a stunning
remember
victory.
Remember the story of the loony being placed at center ice? Because to make the ice at the venue, they hired the Canadian ice guru or whatnot. They came down and they put a loony, a $1 loony, underneath the dot at center ice, and that became the whole, like, oh man, we're never gonna let Canadians make the ice in the U.S. ever again, because that game was an amazing hockey game. 5-2, lots of back and forth. That was the Mario Lemieux letting the puck go through his legs to the back door. Like, it was unbelievable. And one of the best part about it all, Duffer, is that this was the first Olympic break I had been a part of. Like, 98, there was an Olympic break for the games in Nagano. That was the first one. We all remember Czech Republic, Czechia coming back with Hašek and Šmelik. They had beaten Žitník and Russia in the finals. Everything, there was a break. But in 2000, I wasn't with the Sabres in 98. I was in Rochester, so we didn't have a break then. In 2002, we had a break. So I remember going to Quebec City for a few days, visit my family, and then they came back, and I was in the basement, and watching it on the TV, and it was just unbelievable. So yeah, that was a pretty significant, game to watch and rivalry to be watching on TV at the Olympics.
Well, keep in mind, this was Canada's chance. I mean, 98 obviously was the first chance, and they blew that. But
yes,
this was a first real opportunity in a gold medal game to avenge the 1996 World Cup loss.
World Cup, yes.
So this was a big deal, and the TV ratings at the time certainly translated that way.
It's funny how I remember where I was, like, specifically for some of those moments. I remember where I was when I watched a 96 World Cup, the last game, right? When Team USA won and Paddy was on, LaFontaine was on that team, because they returned, right? That was training camp. They missed the start of training camp to come in after. There used to be a Hooters on Maple Road in Amherst. So we walked from the Marriott Hotel, which is where we stayed during training camp, and we walked over, Miller Sport over to Maple, and then went down to the good old Hooters for wings and beers and watching the beers. They served us until the manager got in trouble for serving us because we weren't 21, but that's okay. We still had a few of them early in the game, and that's where we watched the game.
I thought I was going down rabbit holes today and was not expecting more tales of your underage escapades, and certainly not Hooters, but regardless. So you are, though, an Amherst Hall of Famer. And there is a fellow member of that club who is celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday, Jordy Robertson.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Jordy is fantastic.
Great guy. And in 82-83, he had a season for the ages. 119 points with the Amherst, leading them to a Calder Cup that year. Amidst that historic AHL season, he got his first and only call-up into the NHL with Buffalo. Yep. He played five games. He scored a goal. And this is where the rabbit hole began for me. So I'm looking at it going, 82-83. And I look at his game log. I see, oh, his first goal was against Calgary. I wonder who I'll bet you he scored against Don Edwards. And sure enough, look at the box score. It's Don Edwards. And I'm like, that was probably Don's first year, not in Buffalo. Looked a little deeper. Sure enough, not Don's, Don's first year, not in Buffalo. And then it made me relive the Edwards and Sauve connection.
Yes.
And Don would later that year, Don lost to Sauve when he was with Calgary. But the year prior, when Sauve was essentially loaned to the Red Wings for half a season before he came back to Buffalo, Sauve lost to Edwards twice in head-to-head meetings then. So, but it was just like, for those that don't know the history, I mean, Edwards and Sauve were together for a half dozen years as a tandem, the first Vezina winners for the Buffalo Sabres. And it's just, they're so intertwined in my growing up that it was incredibly hard when they were no longer Sabres, because it was, this is what you try to process as a kid. What do you mean he's not on, like, our goalie anymore?
What do you mean they're not together? They came as a tandem. They're a duo. They're playing at opposite ends of the ice. Yeah. Edwards and Sauve are not together. So, yeah, that's interesting. We lost Scotty Metcalf earlier this year, and Jordy and Scotty were always two that came to the Buffalo Sabres alumni golf tournament, even though they didn't play a ton of games for the Sabres, but they're alumni. They're part of the family. Big, big part of the Rochester Americans alumni, which the golf tournament's in a couple of weeks and 3 weeks, and the Sabres is the week after. So there's a lot. We're going to see them a ton. But now that you had me go down this rabbit hole of 1982-83, so Scotty Bowman was the coach of the Sabres in those years. I just saw a name that I did not realize was ever associated with the Sabres as an assistant coach. Red Berenson was an assistant coach with the Buffalo Sabres.
Before the Michigan run. Yeah.
Before the University of Michigan run. Like, he left 83-84. He was an assistant with the Sabres. And then, starting at 84-85, he went to the University of Michigan and stayed at Michigan all the way until 2016-17. Mm-hmm. 33 years as the head coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines. But he had 2 years as an assistant to Scotty Bowman here in Buffalo before I had no idea. But no idea that Red Berenson had been an assistant coach in Buffalo.
It's a fun game to play if you just continue with Scotty there and, you know, focus on especially the Buffalo era, but just the other assistant coaches that he had and then what their careers turned out to be. Mm-hmm. And Marty, I mean, basically, unless I'm missing a few, but like everyone is a hockey lifer. And you think of his era in Detroit with Lewis and Smith, like my good, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, but there was also this Peterborough Mafia connection back then, right? Like the Roger Nielsens and then Mike Keenan extension and Scotty Bowman and everybody had this, they were intertwined. And then they all ended up lasting. And Craig Ramsey, you know, like, all, like it's just, it's truly
amazing.
Well,
that year in 82-83, it was Red Berenson and Jim Roberts. So Jim Roberts was a Montreal Canadiens.
Of course,
like five cups with the Montreal Canadiens.
I could be wrong here, but I think Scotty and Jimmy got connected in St. Louis first.
Yes. And yes, they did get connected in St. Louis when the expansion happened in 67.
Would Scotty and Berenson not have been connected in St. Louis too?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go back and look, but I Jim Roberts was, you'd mentioned about a hockey lifer up until the 2000s, right? He had been in, he was with St. Louis. He was doing things in the NHL. He was, but yes, Red Berenson also played for Scotty Bowman in St. Louis. So 67, when the expansion happened, Red Berenson was with the New York Rangers, was also with the Montreal Canadiens before that. So there's a connection there, but played for Scotty in St. Louis in those years. And that those connection, right? Like you think of, we talk about now some of the coaches in and around the Sabres, right? Like Nathan Peach with the Rochester Americans. Well, you know what? Like Peacher played under Lindy, and then, you know, later in life, sometimes it reconnects. You had Mike Weber, Steve Ott. You've got so many guys that, you know, have had this. They played, and then all of a sudden, you knew they were going to be coach. And depending on the coaches that you had in your career, you learn stuff. Like there's definitely a coaching tree that happens in the NHL.
Right. And our team of the day is Colorado and Jared Bednar and his, you know, climb through the ranks with South Carolina and then, you know, up to where
former Rochester Americans, Jared Bednar. He was a teammate of mine my first year in 97-98 with the Rochester Americans.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, we are reminded of 70 days now until we are getting to the 70th season of Amherst hockey. And, you know, again, this path that we just went down was with Jordy Robertson celebrating his birthday today, part of the Amherst Hall of Fame class of 1993. He had seven different seasons with the Amherst, not only won a Calder Cup with Rochester, but did leave and have one with Adirondack as well. So, just a positive influence on and off the ice in the Rochester community. And
the Adirondack Red Wings, Duffer.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite place to play in my first couple of years in the American Hockey League. Number one, Glens Falls, New York. Beautiful area. Mm-hmm. So we used to stay at the one hotel that was like kind of the one older type of hotel. I remember going to that hotel late at night. Tom Draper was my roommate and I. We rushed to the TV just to try to get ESPN2 for NHL Tonight to get the highlights. The TV wasn't working. We called the front desk. They sent the guy up. He was, you know, working with the wrenches and trying to. And finally, when he got the TV to work, the show was over. Like, it's one of those, like, you couldn't rewind. You couldn't do anything, right? You were trying to catch it live. So I remember that, the walk from the hotel to the arena in Glens Falls. There was a Burger King there on the way. That was the breakfast of champions. Everybody stopped at Burger King for breakfast before heading over to the morning skate. But that rink looked like a little mini Joe Louis Arena, mm-hmm. which was kind of cool because the Red Wings farm team was the Adirondack Red Wings, and it had that feel. And the fans behind the benches would have these gallons of bleach or water or whatnot filled with rocks, and they would right behind the bench. It would be so loud in that building. But what a place to play. Remember Norm Miracle, the goaltender, Normie Miracle?
Yeah, do you know why I remember one save in particular for Norm when he was a member of the Thrashers? He did like a Hasek rollover save with the arm, but he did it while standing up, moving from side to side, like at the top of the crease. It was like he was about to go over. He's like, I'm not going to get there in time. And he stayed upright and it threw the arm backwards and it hit the arm. And I was like, attaboy, Norm. Unbelievable.
So in 98-99, we played the Adirondack Red Wings in what was maybe the second round of the playoffs, I think, or maybe it was the year before that in 97-98, or anyway. But he, like, played his last game. We beat him. And then he did a lap around the rink, waving the fans, almost to say, I'm done. I'm never coming back here, saying I'm going to be in Detroit next year, which he ended up being in Detroit. But I remember thinking, like, what is going on here? Why is Norm Miracle taking a lap like he's Michael Jordan leaving the Chicago Bulls, right? Like, I mean, this, but the fans were passionate. Very much like Rochester fan base, passionate, but man, was the Adirondack Glens Falls, whatever the arena was called there, the Civic Center or something, was buzzing and it was fun.
Yeah, and you know who loved it there? And it was actually the last time that I was there. And I'm honestly, I had to look it up, Marty. I can't believe it has been this long, but it was 8 years ago that I went to Glens Falls for Dave Strader's celebration of life.
Yes.
This
the voice, Dave Strader.
This is so hard to believe that it's been 8 years. He was from Glens Falls. He was so proud of that hometown, his history with the game. What a gentleman, what a voice, what a talent. And Oof, that was a tough one.
Yep.
Right at the start of that season.
You know what it is too, is that like I didn't know Strays until I got to work with him a little bit because he did some NHL Network stuff. Yep. And you know, we worked together a couple of times, but just like RJ and like many legends that have been around for a long time, as a fan, you feel like you know these people so well. The voice, you recognize the voice, even if you're just walking in the room.
Because of how they treat you.
Well, yes.
That's to me the amazing part of it all.
Yeah.
We hear and see them, but it's how they interact with you.
Yes.
That really takes it to that next level and makes you almost validates like why you just continue to listen and you hang on to every word. There's just such
every
a respect
word.
From RJ to his adoring audience over the years. From straight
like Sam Rosen with the Rangers who retired this year. Like Sam, like
Doc like Emrick. People, oh my gosh.
Doc Emrick.
Walk
Doc Emrick.
If you've never met Doc Emrick, you would think that he's known you forever because he asks questions and he listens to your answers.
Yes.
He's genuine.
Oh. And people that listen to Doc calling New Jersey Devils games, like the regional coverage, or Sam calling Rangers games, like they all feel like they know them. Like, and they maybe have never met them before, but they're like, oh, Sam, like he's part of the family, or RJ's part of the family. Like that's, and Dave Strader was like that too. It was, yeah, I can't believe it's been 8 years.
Yeah, it was, we were working, I remember we were doing like Prospects Challenge, preseason. Hockey and you know, he was very ill and just remember trying to exchange messages one last time with him and not getting that response and just, you know, having your heart sink. And, it's really interesting the way you kind of, went down that Scotty Bowman path, and
yeah,
I don't know. We've gone down quite a few paths here.
We're going to get to Colorado because I don't want to put it off until Monday. So we'll get to that after the break, probably.
But they're just there's so many connections in this game. That's all. That's really what it comes down to.
And what is even better, the month of August is a long hockey month because there's not a lot going on.
Yeah.
But what is amazing, and usually the month of August, is you get a bunch of charity golf events. Like the Rochester Americans golf tournament is happening. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Sabres alumni golf event is happening.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the Jim Kelly golf tournament in a couple of Mondays. Like, it's just, you get to see and hang out with. So I talked to JP Dumont yesterday, coming in for the Sabres alumni golf tournament, right? I mean, there's Millsy. Like, there's so many guys that will be here.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It'll be so much fun for that.
Well, and, you know, you always kind of want to celebrate the wins. And I know you as former players do, but I'm going to hazard a guess that the wins amount to less than 5% of your forever conversations with these guys, right?
5%, 1%. It's like,
right. Exactly.
And if we mention it, it's because remember what we did after we won that game.
Right.
Like, it was, that's what it is.
But I feel compelled to just throw it out there a little bit as it pertained to Jordy and his birthday today and his history with the Amherst organization, because he was a part of a phenomenal team in 83 that won. And while that was happening, and after he had had his NHL cameo that year, the Sabres had that first round sweep of the Montreal Canadiens in 1983, when Bob Sobey was absolutely standout. And then they would unfortunately fall in seven on Brad Park's overtime winner.
Yeah.
Right. But there were so many wins that year that were, well, obviously for me, and I'm sure for many others that lived through it, you know, memorable in franchise history. And Bob Sobey was a huge part of it at that point in time. Now,
geez, people take a minute out of your busy day or whatever. If you want a break from the office, go down and go to HockeyDB and pull up the Rochester Americans 82-83 roster. And I just did. And it's like Yvon Lambert was on that team. And he had won four cups with the Montreal Canadiens. And he was on that team. Yep. You know, Val James was on that team, obviously. Randy Cunningworth was a 21-year-old probably rookie or close to maybe his second year on that team. So it's like, oh my goodness, like the names that were – with the Rochester Americans on that year with Jordy Robertson.
Oh, I lost you.
Yeah, I lost. I I get too excited and I hit the wire. You know,
you better call that hotel TV repairman and then hit us on the other side here. In the meantime,
I don't think that exists anymore.
Enter to win a key to the arena. This is so cool. Including Sabres and Bandits season ticket memberships for the 25-26 season and pairs of tickets to five upcoming KeyBank Center live events. Enter to win this one-of-a-kind prize at sabres.com/key. Technical difficulties notwithstanding, we're back after this on Sabres.
We're all good. We're all good.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The team of the day is Colorado.
Yes.
And the Avalanche were 13 minutes away from a Game 7 win in Round 1 against Dallas, only to be hunted by the star that they traded away earlier in the year. Mikko Rantanen went off for a hat trick and one assist in the game's final 13 minutes as Dallas would win 4-2 and Colorado was left wondering, now how do we proceed on the heels of three earlier exits than we would have anticipated after having won the Stanley Cup 4 years ago? They've had a first-round exit twice, a second-round exit once. The coaching staff remains, well, the head coach remains the same, I should say, in Jared Bednar. And we're going to get the first full Nelson season.
Brock Nelson. That is.
Full Brock Nelson. We've got three.
Okay. Cal Makar's a bum, Duffer. Cal Makar's a bum. He took a penalty that led to the 2-2 goal, power play goal, and then it unraveled after that. But no, it wasn't Cal Makar's fault. But yes, the Colorado Avalanche scored early in the third period of Game 7. Nathan MacKinnon made it 2-0. You're thinking, that's it. Colorado's going to beat Dallas. Dallas had a 3-2 series lead. Colorado won Game 6, 7-4, I think, something crazy. And now they're going to lock it down just to see Rantanen, as you pointed out, getting a hat trick, empty net hat trick. Wyatt Johnson scored with 4 minutes left to make it 3-2. It was a power play goal. But Colorado, to me, was, I felt like, one of the best teams in the National Hockey League and maybe one of the Stanley Cup favorite when you looked at how they were able to turn their season around. And then they have Gabriel Landeskog coming back and it's like, oh my gosh, it's destiny. This is going to happen. They are going to beat Mikko Rantanen, the guy they traded away because he did. And boom, it turned around. And all of a sudden the worst case scenario happened. Is Colorado still a really good team? Yes, they're a really good team. But it was just a weird season last year. And I'm interested to see what happens this year because they lost a lot of players, but they kept their core, right? Their core of Makar and MacKinnon and, you know, the Nichushkin is going to be there and whatever. Like there's a big core there. But December 9th last year, Duffer, something happened in Colorado and that was a big turning point in their season.
What was that?
They traded their goalies, Georgiev and Justus Annunen for, you know, to get Mackenzie Blackwood and Scotch Wedgwood. At that time, the Colorado Avalanche were 8th in the Western Conference. They were still in the playoff spot, but they were 30th in goals against per game. They were 26th on the penalty kill. After December 9th, when they acquired Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood, they went up to 12th in goals against per game, but they were 3rd from December 9th until the end of the season. Wow. And they went up to 12th on the penalty kill, but they were 4th from December 9th to the end of the season on the penalty kill. It was all about goaltending, right? Like, I mean, we all saw Georgiev really struggle at the start of the season, but Colorado was able to recover by making a bold, bold crease statement by acquiring Blackwood and Wedgwood.
Yes, and we've talked about it a lot. We've not talked for too long, though, about the fact that Brock Nelson decided to stay, which was a bit surprising. Not that he didn't assimilate well. Clearly he did. The Avalanche wouldn't give him 3 years at over $7 million if he hadn't.
It's a big contract.
But we are still... Yeah, but his consistency matches the number based on today's market value. But the Avalanche are going to have a tough time running from this narrative or line of questioning here, i.e. if they keep running into first and second round roadblocks, history will ask, did they ever get better after trading Mikko Rantanen? So I don't know. I mean, there's multiple parts to this. There's the Brock Nelson investment, which comes at the end of a season. Mm-hmm. So it's not directly, it's tied to Rantanen simply because once you made that move, then it was like, okay, well, we have some money here at the deadline. What are we going to do to bring in the depth and make ourselves even more well-rounded?
Center depth, right? Because they tried Casey Mittelstadt, didn't really work out the way they wanted to. They trade 100%. Him to Boston. They bring in Charlie Coyle, then they trade him. Like, it's like they needed center depth, and Brock Nelson was the guy.
But they also have Marty Natchez here, and Natchez is a pending UFA unless he gets an extension. So how are you viewing all of this when it comes to Colorado?
How I'm viewing it is that the Colorado Avalanche are basically a four-player team. It's MacKinnon and it's Landeskog to a certain extent, but let's put them aside. I think Valerie Nichushkin is one of their bigger impact type player. When he's in the lineup, that team is different. When he's not in the lineup, and Nichushkin has had some issues, right? Some off-ice issues where he had to take some time away from the team, a couple of injuries. So it's a big difference. So I think MacKinnon, I think Nichushkin, I think Makar, like that's your three-man, crew right there. Everything else around them, like Natchez is a big part, but you could probably move on from Natchez and still be fine with Colorado, still be a playoff team. Are you going to be a Stanley Cup champion team if you don't help that group? That's the difference. They went from 119 to 111 to 107 to 102 last year. Like that, they've been dropping the last 4 years in points, but they're still better than a 100-point season.
Right.
So it's like, are you really like going to feel bad about Colorado that they're dropping and lost in the first round? No, they're still a fantastic team. But for me, it's about MacKinnon, Nichushkin, Makar, and then you hope that Landeskog is going to be okay to fill in that gap.
But what about Natchez? Because you just went through it with Rantanen. Natchez may be asking for more than you're willing to spend.
Yeah.
So are you going to do this in season again? Or are you going to get ahead of it? Have Natchez signed long-term? Or have him dealt for whatever value you think you should be getting for him and move on without the distraction in season?
Well, the big thing is, what are you willing to pay Marty Natchez? Like, Nathan MacKinnon is a $12 million player right now, and that's a bargain. Like, we talked to Shayna Goldman yesterday about mm-hmm. the best contracts in the NHL. At The Athletic, they said that Nathan MacKinnon was one of the best contract in the NHL at $12.6 million. Mm-hmm. But Marty Natchez could probably be a $9 to $10 million player the way that he's playing. He's about a point a game now, so it'll get you about 85 to 90 points. Could probably get you over 30 goals. Like, he's that type of player. But I would feel a little bit weird saying, I'm going to spend $10 million on Marty Natchez. So is he willing to say, okay, I'll take nine, right, to stay in Colorado, to be part of this team? And it doesn't seem like that is the Natchez approach. Like, even with Carolina, he wanted to be traded. Carolina maybe wanted to sign him. And when Rantanen was available, Carolina made the trade. They traded Natchez. Like, there was a lot going on there. I'm just a little skeptical about Natchez resigning in Colorado, just because I think the Natchez camp as a UFA probably will command somewhere around $10 million.
Right. So that's why I'm asking. Wouldn't you try to get ahead of this before camp?
I think if you're Colorado, you're probably saying, let's give it a try, because you're looking at your team. Your team's getting a little older. This is year 10 of Jared Bednar. How many coaches in the NHL go 10, 12, 14 years coaching? Like, we know it's a quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. So this could be the last couple of years of saying, hey, we're the Avalanche and we're making a major push. You mentioned Dallas, Winnipeg. You know, there's teams in the Central, St. Louis, Minnesota. There's teams in the Central that are right around you. You still have an opening right now. So I would say let's give this a run. But if Natchez, if we know we're not going anywhere with Natchez, and if it's not working to where we want it to be, then we'll make the trade, just like they did with Rantanen last year. It turned out good for Colorado when you think about it, to have Marty Natchez in return for Rantanen. It's just that Rantanen decided to score a hat-trick in Game 7. But I felt like it worked out well for Colorado. You can probably do that again this year.
You can't trade him at the deadline.
Well, you could.
But presumably you're in contention at that point.
Well,
So if he actually gets to the numbers that you're suggesting, by the way, he's never scored 30, and he's had one, which was last year, 80-point season. So I am as skeptical as you as to whether I should be paying him $10 million to be an 80-point guy consistently.
Yes.
That remains to be seen. But he's also not had a whole year with Colorado. So yes, to your point, I would like to learn a lot more about from October through February. But I don't want to be in a position where we say to our fans, it's not looking like he wants to sign with us, so we better move off of him. How are you getting value for Natchez, assuming he's on an 80-point pace in February? Like, how are you making that trade at the deadline?
Well, I think Colorado was able to do it with Rantanen. Now, Rantanen is a higher profile player than Marty Natchez, right? Mm-hmm. So you got the value out of Rantanen. I think you can maybe get, you know, in January and February next year, if you want to go there, you probably can get 80 cents on the dollar, but that's because you would know that Natchez is not going to be there next year. And you say, we better get at least some value for that. You also are going to maybe have some cap space, depending on what Gabriel Landeskog's situation going to be next year. Right now, Colorado's got about $3.3 million in cap space. They don't have to sign anybody, but who knows? Maybe that changes depending on Landeskog. So I think if you're Joe Sakic, Chris McFarland, you know, the Colorado Avalanche right now, you're waiting. You're waiting to see, where are we in December? How much cap space do we have? What can we do if we don't want to move on with Natchez as part of our team?
Are they any better than when last season ended?
That was my biggest question. They lost Jonathan Drouin, who was almost a point-a-game guy when he was playing for Colorado. They lost Charlie Coyle. They lost Miles Wood. Those two were traded to Columbus. They didn't really get much in return. They lost Kiviranta. And all they added really was Brent Burns. And mm-hmm. I get it. Brent Burns, I thought, had a really good season in Carolina and will be a good added depth to the McCarr and Taze and Girard and Manson. And I like their blue line very much. But when I put their beginning of the season roster from last year with Rantanen, with Drouin, with Wood, they had Drew O'Connor. They had like Nichushkin was suspended until November, but I feel like they were a better team offensively, their group of forwards last year, than they are this year. I like their blue line with the addition of Burns, though.
Well, I mean, he's 40 years old. I'm not sure how much you can reasonably expect from Brent
playing Burns. In high altitude. 40-year-old playing in high altitude.
Well, conditioning is not, nor has ever been a concern.
No.
For
the guy
for
probably trains in high altitude and has probably one of those, you know, oxygen tent at home mm-hmm. to make sure it works.
Logan O'Connor's been a nice piece for them, but he starts the year hurt. So that's another area of depth that they're going to have to, you know, consider dealing with here.
Did I say Drew O'Connor earlier? Yeah, I said Drew O'Connor. It's Logan O'Connor. Sorry.
Right. And just because we like to do this every now and again, and Marty Natchez has been a talking point, did you catch his nickname on Hockey Reference?
No, I did not catch his nickname. Is it one of one, or does he have five or six?
There's two, and I'm going with number two. It's Sugar Boo.
Sugar Boo.
Yes.
So. Now, when, you know what? A pet peeve of mine, Duffer, and you, I think, is also something that is when players change organization, how they change their names. And Natchez in Carolina became Nekas in Colorado just to go back to Natchez about 3 weeks later. I was watching the Colorado Avalanche broadcast when he got traded in. It's like Marty Nekas. I'm like, what is going on here? It's Natchez. But anyway, so we went back to Natchez quickly enough, which was better.
It's August. We should never concern ourselves with these challenges we have in our public speaking roles.
Always in the back of my mind. Always in the back of my mind.
Folks, build your own Sabres schedule with a 10-game flex plan. Fans who purchase the 10-game flex plan can unlock tickets for the home opener at no additional cost. So 10-game flex plans available now. Choose 10 home games this season. Get the opener included. Go to sabres.com/flex. Of course, you get savings off of single game.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game pricing, playoff priority, and more. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Marty, are you taking over New Music Friday?
Well, I did a quick search on New Music Friday, and so there's a lot that is dropping. Chapel Roan has got some new songs dropping, and one of them is called The Subway, I believe. So I just saw a little bit of the music video. So I'm not taking over New Music Friday. That's your department. But I did a quick search to see what was happening because I want to be in the know.
Well, and that's the challenge. So what you're seeing under the banner New Music, New Music Friday comes from full albums typically coming out on a Friday. Singles are more often presented on Tuesdays right now. I have seemingly been otherwise distracted and have not indulged in said new music, so I don't want to put it out there without having reviewed it first. I don't want to attach my name to something that's like, well, I love this artist, but oh my God, this new single is terrible. So I will just keep the focus on where I'm going tonight, which is directly across the parking lot to see for the second time this summer, because he was part of the George Strait extravaganza at Stadium. But Parker McCollum is headlining tonight, and I'm looking forward to that.
Well, enjoy that. You know, go around town and see if you can find some Utah Mammoth in Salt Lake City or around there. So
I'm going to stay in West Valley, I think.
Stay in West Valley. That's fine. Yeah. Oh, and if you like are nostalgic about music, it's August, you're outside. And I know we're on WGR 550, but on Sirius XM, the that tragically hip are having one of those weekend thing where it's the concert from Marine Midland Arena in 1996. They're replaying a lot of those songs. So go check it out. I think it's channel 757, the hip channel on Sirius XM.
Wow. What's on your docket this weekend?
My parents are in town.
Oh,
that's what it is.
Best to them. Enjoy. We'll see y'all on Monday.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.